We'll look into our tomorrow. Amen. Luke chapter 21, and beginning with the first verse, it came to pass that one of those days, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth I say unto you, that this poor widow have cast in more than they all, for all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Penury there means poverty. And as some spake of the temple, how it was adorned, incidentally, some folks think they can't afford to give. There ain't no such animal. Amen. If you don't learn to give, you're fixing to get into the biggest mess you ever saw. Amen. Especially if you know better. Tithing is the bare essential. That's 10% of your income, plus an offering, and that's the bare essential. You haven't given God anything when you give him tithes and offerings. Amen. You got to go above and beyond to really give him something. Jesus never did condemn people for giving. He condemned them for not giving. Praise God. Whole chapters on them not giving. Whole chapters written to rebuke people for not giving. Amen. And they were looking at the temple, how it was adorned with goodly stones and gifts. And he said, as for these things, which ye behold, the days will come in which there shall not be left one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And they asked him, saying, Master, but when shall these things be? And what sign will there be when these things shall come to pass? And then he begins like he did in Matthew 24. Take heed that you be not deceived. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. And the time draweth near. Go ye not therefore after them. But when ye shall hear of wars and commotions, be not terrified, for these things must first come to pass, but the end is not by and by. Then said he unto them, Nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs there shall be from heaven. This answers to Matthew 24, the first 14 verses. This also answers to the book of Revelation. Amen. As he opens the first of the seven seal book. Amen. This 11th verse takes in down probably including the 7th, 8th chapter of the book of Revelation. Amen. And then he puts in a holy parenthesis. And great earthquakes shall be in divers places, and famines and pestilences and fearful sights, and great signs shall be there from heaven. This answers to the last phase of Joel's prophecy concerning the outpouring of the Spirit in the last days. There would be even a greater fulfillment of that during these times, in the 11th, including the 11th verse. Amen. This is also things that are taken in the 6th chapter of the book of Revelation. It begins to open those seals. Amen. These are the things that are taken in the first 14 verses of the Matthew 24. But then he puts in this parenthesis, but before all these things, listen very carefully. Amen. because this lets you know where we are. But before all these things, before all these 11 verses, or 6 through 11 verses, amen. But before all these things, they shall lay hands on you and persecute you and deliver you up to the synagogues and into prisons, and being brought before kings and rulers for my name's sake, amen, signifying that there would be early persecution in the church, which is a matter of history, folks. And it shall turn to you for a testimony. Settle it therefore in your hearts not to meditate before what ye shall answer. Some of the very apostles that he's talking to would be in on this. Amen. For I'll give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinsfolks and friends. And some of you shall they cause to be put to death. This also is a matter of history. This actually happened and has even happened in recent days in church history. And you shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but there shall not a hair of your head perish. I repeat, amen. The devil can't kill you till God gets through with you. You're invincible. Amen. In your patience possess ye your souls. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Amen. I preached this a few sermons back from Matthew 24. Even though this part was not in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 takes in the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet. This prophecy in Luke takes in the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD. Christians remained in Jerusalem up to that time. Amen. Paul took up an offering for them when they had great dearth in the land and carried it back, hand carried it to them. Amen. And so up until this time, Christians would remain in Jerusalem. They would survive the persecution. Amen. And they would carry on the gospel message, and Paul could always go back to Jerusalem and start another missionary journey. Amen. And when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, then know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Amen. He just said that there shall not be left one stone upon another. He said it also in Matthew 24. Amen. Now, he said, when ye shall see Jerusalem compassed with armies, and know that the desolation thereof is nigh. This also is a matter of history. This destruction of Jerusalem came in 70 AD under Titus. Amen. And about 3 years later, they attacked Masada. And there 1,000 holdout hardcore Jews committed suicide. There was only 2 or 3 left who hid out to tell the story. And thus the vengeance of God was complete upon the ones that had trampled the blood of Jesus Christ underfoot and persisted in their rebellion against Christ. Know that the desolation thereof is nigh. Then let them which are in Judea, amen, flee to the mountain. And let them which are in the midst of it depart out. And let not them that are in the countries enter thereinto. Amen. This also is a matter of history, that the Christians took Christ serious. And when the army surrounded Jerusalem, they fled. Most of them fled to Pella and found refuge there. Others found refuge in various places in Decapolis, the 10 cities, far on the other side of Jordan. Amen. And they escaped. There is no record that one Christian was killed in this siege of Jerusalem. They left. They escaped. They took God at His word, and they fled. Praise God. Folks, it's safe to take God at His word. But we don't. We're asking for trouble. Amen. For these be the days of vengeance, and all things which are written may be, that all things which are written may be fulfilled. Amen. This is a matter of history. But woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. For there shall be great distress in the land, and wrath upon the people. Amen. Paul prophesied this on his own kinsmen, the Jews, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amen. The wrath of God was upon them. Amen. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations. And Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. I'd like to preach briefly tonight on the end of the times of the Gentiles. This one verse here is enough to make the hair stand up on your head. Because we've watched the Jews recapture almost every part of Jerusalem in our generation. Amen. There's only one little part that they don't own tonight. And that's a little less than 1 square mile. Excuse me, 1 square quarter of a mile. Amen. More likely. A little less than 1 square quarter of a mile, which makes up the Temple Mount. That's the only part they haven't taken. The only reason they haven't taken the ground where the temple once stood. The only reason they haven't taken that sacred ground where the Dome of the Rock stands. A Muslim temple, if you please. The only reason they haven't taken that sacred ground where the Al-Aqsa Mosque stands, one of the most sacred among Muslim temples. Right there on the Temple Mount, is because they know if they did, they would incite the fanaticism of the entire Arab world in a suicide attack on Jerusalem. Amen. And so they wait. They bide their time. And they dig, and they tunnel under. And this year, this last year, amen, you read about the big disturbance that the Arabs stirred up because the Jews are tunneling under the Temple Mount. And oh, they say they've discovered the place where Jeremiah hid the Ark of the Covenant? Amen. I don't know. They say they've discovered the Holy of Holies under there. I don't know. I know that they have discovered enough that they have found a place out there where a little roof stands up. Amen. Just a little further west of the north of the Dome of the Rock, where that you don't do too much praying, because there'll be a bunch of screaming Arabs come down upon you. Amen. Because the Jew says, and we stood right there, and our guide pointed right to the place. This, he said, is where the Holy of Holies once stood. They've tunneled under, and they say they found the place. And now they've gone out on top, and there's a little roof, a little shelter out there. And they say, we have found that we have room to build the temple here without disturbing the Dome of the Rock. That's the compromise they're looking for right now. Look out, folks. I'm not trying to be sensational. This is a matter of fact. All the rest is a matter of history. Amen. We are in the end of the times of the Gentiles, with only a little postage stamp size spot, about a quarter of a mile, amen, more or less, inside the environs of old Jerusalem that the Jews don't possess. Amen. I was surprised when a whole band of Jewish soldiers kicked off their shoes and went through the Dome of the Rock with a lot of the rest of the pilgrims. That was the Temple Mount guard. And they have free access to all those buildings. Amen. Because they're guarding them. Look out. Amen. The feet of Jews are already walking. Amen. On that forbidden territory. Amen. Yes, Jerusalem shall be trodden underfoot, trodden down of the Gentile, until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. They're just looking for an excuse. They're just looking for the right war. They're just looking for the right fanatic. They're just looking for the right misplaced scud to land on top of one of those Arab temples, or both of them, and blow it to smithereens. They're just looking for the providence of God to intervene at any time. They're ready. They've got the stones hewn. They've got all the fabrication materials to build the temple. They're ready to put it up, and put it up quick. Amen. And folks, it is a matter of fact tonight that the times of the Gentiles is just about finished. Amen. But before all these things, yes, this is what's supposed to happen before that first seal is open. Amen. Yes, Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot of the Gentile till the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Persecution, hated of all nations. Amen. James in the 15th chapter of Acts gives us even a deeper insight. He said, God did at first visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. Then he will return and rebuild the tabernacle of David. Where are you going to build that tabernacle? Right there on the Temple Mount. When? When he's took out a people for his name. That people for his name is none other than the body of Christ which bears his name. That people for his name is none other than the church of the living God. Amen. Children, our time of probation is just about over. It could end in 1997. They're just looking for an excuse. We got 4 years. But the Gregorian calendar is behind 4 years. Jesus wasn't born in 1 B.C., they found out. Amen. He was born in 4 B.C. So we're 4 or 5 years out of whack with the Gregorian calendar. Amen. And if he was born in 4 B.C., the millennium may be over already. Amen. We may be starting a new millennium in 1997 and don't even know it. The times of the Gentiles are winding up. Praise God. And there shall be signs in the moon. Now, he starts in where he left off in verse 11. 25th verse and verse 25, verse 11 goes together. Verse 11, verse 25 goes together. You can jam them together. Amen. And there shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and upon earth distress of nation with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring. Amen. When? After the times of the Gentiles has been fulfilled. Amen. Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then they shall see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. There's going to be a people that are going to be so in tune with God in that hour. Amen. About 144,000 of them, the first whack. Not only that 144,000, so invincible and so powerful and so full of the Holy Ghost and the power of God that Joel said they would have, that a number that no man can number shall come out of that great tribulation. Amen. That's why he said, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Amen. And he spake to them a parable. Behold, the fig tree and all the trees. I mentioned it to you this morning how that Luke mentioned the fig tree and all the trees. The fig tree has long been representative of, amen, Israel. But all the trees, amen, represents the nation around. And the nations of the world are enjoying unprecedented prosperity tonight. Greater prosperity than they have ever known. Amen. In Saudi Arabia, they're building modern cities with modern roads and modern schools and modern libraries and modern museums. In Babylon, they're rebuilding Babylon at breakneck pace. Amen. Right on the original foundation of old Babylon. The archaeologist begged Saddam Hussein not to do it. But Saddam Hussein is not one to listen to archaeologists or any other kind of ologist. Amen. And so he's building right on the foundations. Babylon is being rebuilt. Why is it being rebuilt? So God can destroy it. Amen. In the great tribulation. Praise God. The Jews and the Jordanians have shook hands over the peace table and built new bridges and new highways. Amen. There's a new four-lane highway that goes all the way from Amman, Jordan, to the crossing of Jordan at the Allenby Bridge in Jericho. Amen. Hey, they put a new bridge across down in southern Israel and southern Jordan. Amen. Near the Gulf of Aqaba. Amen. And they've established new ties and new relationships. As I heard that about 4 years ago over the radio as we rode all the way to Granite City camp meeting to preach the camp meeting. Amen. And I was yawning and about to go to sleep. I took a big old nap on Sunday afternoon, and now, amen, my body is saying, you took a nap yesterday and you need to take one today, and I've got to drive to camp meeting. Amen. And suddenly I woke up. The newscast woke me up as they told about and pictured in the newspaper, amen, King Hussein and Prime Minister of Israel shaking hands, and there stood President Clinton, amen, looking on as they shook hands, and different newspapers, every newspaper, Time Magazine, every Newsweek, amen, had that same picture. My God, I said, life, I've been preaching that for over 30 years. Amen. And it just dawned on me, and I woke up, that Israel, I've been preaching a long time, that Israel would eventually be friends to Jordan. Because that's where they're going to hide when the abomination of desolation takes place in the middle of Daniel's 70th week. They're going to flee to the mountains. Amen. And Petra's where they're going to hide, in those surrounding jagged mountainous environs is where they're going to find their protection through the remainder of the great tribulation. Had to happen. Children, it is a matter of history. When they now shoot forth, you see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. Hallelujah. So likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, which one? The one living when these things begin to take place. The one living when the times of the Gentiles is up. The one living when Jerusalem is taken over by the Jews and the Arab world don't like it and they cut the oil off to the rest of the world and the whole world comes down on them for the battle of Armageddon. Amen. It's that simple. Amen. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Listen to this. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. You can count on it. You had better count on it. Amen. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, so that that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. It's going to happen. And the whole earth's not looking for it tonight. And many Christians, Pentecostals included, are so jaded and case-hardened by the continuous din of prophecy and sensationalists that they are not expecting it either. Amen. Listen. Watch ye. This gets down to where the rubber meets the road. This gets down to the nitty gritty. This is something we all can profit by. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. Before all these things come to pass, somebody is going to have been watching. Somebody is going to have been praying. Somebody is going to have been seeking God. Somebody is not going to be caught unawares. Amen. They're going to watch and pray always that they may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that should come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. The only way we can escape tonight is get out of the world. He just said it's going to come on the whole world. The only way we're going to get out of it, the only way we're going to keep from being caught in the trap, is to be doing what a lot of people are not doing. Get ready to go. We've got to get ready to leave. They're tunneling under tonight. They're scratching away by the inch. Amen. They're trying to get under there and find enough old foundations if they can. Find enough measurements if they can. Get enough relics if they can of the Holy of Holies. Some say they've actually seen it. I have my doubts about it, but then there are a lot of surprises in store in these days. God's going to hasten a lot of things. It's going to come to pass. Praise God. Yes, there is going to be a people that are going to be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. How is that going to happen? Amen. They're going to be caught out. Snatched out. Amen. Paul said in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians, they're going to be changed in a twinkling of an eye. Amen. Going to be changed and caught out. Praise God. Oh, yes. He said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, amen, that they would escape because we're not in darkness. We don't sleep as others do. But in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, he said, they, the world, shall not escape. It'll come as a snare on them. They'll be caught in a trap. I'm a preacher of the gospel tonight. Gospel means good news. The good news is that if you won't be swept away by the world and the world spirit and the world system and the ungodliness of the world, great God, in the corruptions of the apostate church, Jezebel and the whole shooting match. Amen. You can escape. Amen. He said in the last days, in Matthew 24 and 25, he said there'd be marrying and giving in marriage. Aren't they doing it today? Amen. With no thought of divorce or the sin of it, with no thought of fornication or the sin of it, with no thought of adultery or the sin of it, they just go on marrying and giving in marriage. Amen. That's what they're doing. Amen. Husband hollers to his wife and says, wife, said, my kids and your kids is beating up on our kids. Amen. And that's the way it is in many of a home today. Marrying and giving in marriage. With no thought of their former vows. With no thought of their former promises. With no thought of the sacredness of the institution. Amen. They just go on. Amen. And Sister Edith Vanover got all the way to the altar in Barberville, Kentucky. She told me she's going to get married. I said, well, is he a good man? It just never dawned on me that she wouldn't marry anybody but somebody that was eligible. Amen. And here the family is in the church in Barberville. Amen. And they're there with pictures to be taken, and a wedding is about to come off, and they handed me the license. And I saw where the husband had been divorced. And I said, I'm sorry. I take all the blame. And I said, I can't perform this marriage. You know what Sister Edith Vanover told me? She said, I thought about telling you, but she said, I didn't think it'd make any difference. There's so many holiness preachers that's divorced and remarried. That's exactly the word she said. Amen. He said, my pastor stood beside me. He said, I had a right to divorce, and my pastor stood beside me. I said, he's the one you need to get to marry you, because I don't know your case. I don't know your situation. Amen. Well, amen, they married. But it wasn't too long until Sister Edith was sorry. Amen. I want to warn you, when you marry a loser, you may find out why he was a loser. Amen. And it'll be too late once you sign on the dotted line. But nobody cares nowadays. Nobody's interested nowadays. After all, amen, the TV preacher, he's got more than one wife. And so they go on marrying and giving in marriage. They're doing all right. He's riding high. Amen. What's wrong with it? And so they go on marrying and giving in marriage. But let the one who's in a situation like that be honest with you, and they'll tell you, amen, as they tell the truth, amen, it's not the best. Amen. Praise God. Yes, yes, they're going on their merry way. They're eating and drinking with the drunk, and it's happening right in charismatic Pentecostal service circles. Amen. Ministers. Amen. Yeah. Preacher and his wife. Amen. tippling a whole bottle of wine at the motel. They're in charge of a big, amen, TV operation worldwide. Amen. Well, the great deliverance preachers of bygone years. Amen. Had a young man, young preacher, driving for him, and he reached in the glove compartment of his car and took out a bottle of whiskey, and he said, I'm on a fast. And he said, amen, this is my breakfast. He stuck his thumb on one measure of the bottle and said, this is my dinner and this is my supper. Amen. That preacher died in a motel of acute alcoholism. Amen. And the people that I tried to warn about him looked with disdain upon me. Amen. No, they said, Brother Collins, that is not true. You ought to have seen the things I seen and heard the things which I heard. The Bible said, however, take heed that no man deceive you. But they don't pay any attention to you're, amen, beating your head against the wall to try to warn some people today. They're going to go the way it has become a matter of stubbornness. It has become a matter of religious pride. They know they're wrong. But they're going to go that way anyway. Amen. They can go to the very valley of the shadow of death and come back, and they'll still firm up and harden their heart and still go against God and take the world instead of a move of God. They'd rather go to church and put on a shout than have the real, so they can go on their merry way and do as they please. And they are skilled at it. I mean, brother, they know when to kick. They've trained to know how to dance. Amen. I was in a meeting in Hong Kong. Amen. Well, across the bay from Hong Kong Harbor, in a service which turned out to be charismatic. Amen. We wanted to go to church, some Pentecostal church, so we found one. Amen. And it was crowded. They had every accommodation. They had accommodation of earphones for those who couldn't hear well. Amen. A closed circuit TV for those that couldn't see, in a packed out house. Amen. I noticed these girls up front with ballerina dresses on and with red ballerina shoes on. Didn't think anything about it. As the service progressed, amen, both them girls come twirling out, amen, and dancing in not so much of the spirit. Amen. It was a time thing. Why? Pentecostal folks are supposed to dance in the spirit. So why not get a choreographer and train for it? Amen. And do it well. Amen. And so they've got their own dancers now in charismatic churches. Amen. At a preset time. Amen. They'll come out and twirl and dance. Amen. What is it? It's going through the motions. People of God, we believe in spontaneous worship at the highway of holiness. Pentecost always has. We believe in dancing with the Spirit. If God gets on people to dance, we believe in running the aisle. When God gets on people to run the aisle, we believe in the power of God. But folks would rather put on the dog if they can have the world and say, I believe, being saved and filled with the Holy Ghost, speaking other tongues and miracles too. Oh, yes. But there's a big difference. And folks, there always has been a big difference. Amen. What is the difference? It's reality and the farce. It's reality and the pretense. Amen. And you can feel the difference. Come on. You can feel the reality of God. Hey, the people of God are going to have to pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things which shall come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. Amen. These days, in the beginning of 1997, let's seek God as never before. Stand with me tonight. Father, bless our broken remarks. Challenge our hearts, Lord God, with these. The end of the times of the Gentiles. When the spotlight is about to switch back to the Jew. And Joel chapter 2 is to have its complete fulfillment. And the book of Revelation is about to start. Amen. Oh God, the seals are about to be opened. I pray that you give us, Lord, grace. Grace for this hour. Help us, Lord, not to be among those that have gone down, down, down instead of going up. That have gone worse instead of getting better. I pray, Father, in Jesus' name, that thou wilt direct our path into the perfect will of God. In Jesus' name. Amen. As they sing, we invite you to pray that you may be accounted worthy to escape those things which shall come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man.
Years have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come to earth someday. Back then it seemed so real that I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is.